Blog Talk Radio.
And then it stops. And the cow said, moo. Do you guys remember that? Do you guys remember that speak and spell thing? Remember the speak and spell? You pull it and the cow says, moo. I don't know if it was, I guess it was pretty educational for us when we were kids. They always experimented on us when we were kids in the 60s. We had some cool toys. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's 5 o'clock here on the west coast of Los Angeles, California. It's a beautiful day, hot. Like 90s maybe, I guess. It's fluctuating between, I live in the valley, so it's about always 10 degrees hotter. So it's about 90 something. It's hot. Hot and windy right now. And kind of funky yesterday. I was in the city visiting our friend, Gary Baum from Paintball Photography. I do his computer work, and about 11 o'clock in the morning, I went there to Westwood to park and go walk over there, and all of a sudden, you heard this big clapping sound, boom, 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 and I was looking around, and there were some homeless guys, and they looked panicked. They had a panicked look on their face, and they knew what was coming, and I guess when you live outside, you do. For me, I was like, what is all this about? And then boom, the monsoon hit. Boom. And the panicked homeless guys were running for their little shelters. And they thought they were in their summer homes. They were outside sunning themselves and had all their stuff outside. And then boom. So for a nice half an hour, we got this torrential downpour. And that was it. And then it was gone. It moved on. Homeless people were wet. Maybe a shower or two. I don't know. I had an umbrella, so I was cool. But it was a nice change of pace. Everything was cool. It's all good. I posted a picture up yesterday. And like always, the world doesn't revolve around Los Angeles as we think it does. I get posts from all these other people. Hey, look at this. This is real rain. This is a monsoon. We're having floods over here. You think that's raining? So... quick reality check. We live in paradise sometimes. It'd be really cool if we had water. We don't have that much water. But what are you going to do? Anyway, so I've been, again, traveling a lot. This past 6 months, July, I guess, is 6 months, right? So the past 6 months is, let me see, what did we say? Been to Mexico. We've been to... Ireland, we've been to Germany, we've been to Canada, Long Island and North Carolina, and I think Michigan twice, Chicago, that leaves anybody out. It's been tiring. Gets to the point when you travel that it says 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. Usually, pretty much in the United States, that's about your length of travel, which would be about 5 hours from here to New York, maybe. Depends, give or take. But so you get on the plane and don't even think about it. One of the tricks that I do when I fly is use my iPhone as a timer. Put the timer on. So the minute the plane takes off, you put the timer on. And then you can get lost in your thoughts and not have to worry about anything and maybe even take a nap. And the reason I do the timer is because there's the time change. So, you want to like know exactly, oh, I got like another hour, 2 hours left. You can go back to sleep, whatever you want to do. It's kind of cool. But yeah, it's kind of cool to be able to fly that much. You get to the point where you're on TSA pre-check. So that'll save you about 20 minutes. But if you get to the airport 2 hours early, like I always recommend, then there's no hassles. There's no headaches. There's no, oh, no. Or the other oh, no is you're in line at TSA or pre-check or not. And there's always the knucklehead that doesn't, oh, I have my belt on. He has got to go back. Oh, I have my shoes on. Oh, and then there's the guy that jumps in front. Hey, I'm going to miss my plane. So again, you got like an hour plus. You're like, stupidity, please take your time and go ahead. The other time is the, if you don't have a PM from, what is your email? Being a PM from my, from the park owner of the next event that we're going to in Maribel. Let me just PM him my, information here. And so you don't have to, again, you don't have to rush. And rushing causes problems. Rushing causes mistakes. HOTUSON.com. Reaper@shootyousoon.com. And you don't want mistakes. You don't want hassles. Some airports are bigger than LAX. I've been to some amazingly huge airports. Some airports are, you got to take a tram. I think the Michigan International, there's a tram you can take. Inside the airport, you take a tram to get to your gates. So you don't want to be fumbling around and get lost and all that kind of crap. So always get there early. Anticipate the stuff. First, when you get there, you got to buy your, you've already bought your ticket, but you got to like use the kiosk. You don't talk to the people anymore, basically, until you give them your bag. So you got to do the kiosk. And if you've ever done the kiosk, you got to look up your code and the seats, and you got to buy your bag. You know, it's $25 a bag. You got to buy it there as well. So you got to make sure you got your card with you. And if did it take the card? So that process right there might take 15 minutes, depends. And then you got to take your bag to the stand in line. She's got to take your bag and she's got to weigh it. Now you guys listen. I travel at 45 pounds. You're supposed to travel at 50. You can travel 50 max. But you got to do. Everybody's PMing me at this moment. On my show, Glenn. But you got to have only 45 pounds. If you got more than 45 pounds, they're gonna ding you. It's expensive. They can check it out. I don't know. They can charge whatever they want, $1 million. So let's say you go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'll take some stuff out. So then what are you doing? You're unpacking. And there's a line of people who would like to get to their plane, but you've decided that you don't realize what 50 pounds is, and so now you're unpacking, and then you're trying to put your other excess into another bag. Forget about it. Again, get there early, avoid idiots that don't know how to pack, walk around. Done deal. You bought your ticket. You got your ticket. You got your boarding pass. You popped your bag up there. And why else should you just do 45 pounds? Let's say you want to bring back a souvenir. Or I get wet a lot when I play. When I'm playing during the summer, I'm always soaking myself down. Water weighs. So what happens? That goes back in your bag, and now you're up to 50 pounds. Always give yourself that leeway. So you do that. get the baggage checked in. You got your carry on, your roll on. You're on your way. Go through TSA. Now you're hanging out. Now you're hanging out at the gate. Let's say you got a half an hour until they start boarding. That's cool. So you're there, and you found a seat that has an electric plug. A lot of them don't. And you're getting all your stuff charged. You're hanging out. Everything's cool. Okay, we're boarding group one, group two, group three. Whatever group you are, I don't care. But do this. Take your roller bag. If you do like I do, I have a backpack. I have the roller bag I can put up into the cabin. And I have my big bag. I check my big bag in. If you want to check your roller bag in down there at the bottom, it's an extra $25. But if you go up to the top and hang out and wait, they're usually going to tell you we have no more room. We'll check him in for free. Or if you volunteer, they'll check him in for free. So $25 downstairs, free upstairs. So check that in. People are like, no, I'm going to lose my bag. Yeah, well, not really. Because when you're taking that bag, that rolling bag of yours, small one, down the jetway, and you're giving it to the guy, guess what? He's going to put it right below where all the rest of your bags are. So you're going to lose that one, but not your big one? Whatever. And I know it's happened. It happens. Whatever. Anyway, now what do you have? You just have your carry-on, your bag, your backpack. You have your backpack and you have your assigned seat. And now they're loading group one. And now they're loading group two. And now they're okay, so that's like it was a half an hour before the plane takes off. And now what they're doing is they're loading other ones. What are they loading? They're loading up all these other people, right? Now, let's say that you're in group one, which is first class, and you get on and you're waiting. Okay, so now they're giving you something to drink and cool. Everything after that is not first class. So if you're going to get on, you're going to have to wait for the last person, which is me, to get on. So what does that mean? That means you're going to be sitting on that plane cramped amongst all those people. That means you're probably going to be sitting there another half an hour, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, whatever it is. So I know that. So I don't care what group I'm in. I go on last. I'm the last person. Why? I already have my seat. I don't need to put anything above me. I'm good to go. And I'm going to hang out in the big spacious lounge. So that's what I do. That's another travel hint. Then you get on the plane. You've already got your assigned seat. And that's it. You're off to the races. Start your clock. Boom. Done deal. So that's it. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing, hang on a second. Let me just grab my drink. Hold on one second. Pow. That was good. You're off to the races. And that's it. I know a lot of people don't like to fly for whatever reason. They're scared of heights. They're scared of sitting next to other people. They're scared of the inevitable. It might crash. Let me tell you something about that. When it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. Whether it's on a plane, in a car, by a shark, it doesn't matter. It's time for you to go. Are you going to enjoy your life? Stop traveling? Going in? Maybe. Some people do. Some people let their fears block their adventures. Okay. I got it. And I'm not here to convince you any other way. You can read all the self-help books you want. You can read all, watch all the movies. That's not my world. I'm pragmatic. I'm like, listen, you guys know how much I travel. I fly all over the world. Come on. It's one of the safest ways of traveling. And the Greyhound doesn't float on water. That's what Andre 3000 said. Remember that song? Anyway. So I enjoy it. I enjoy flying. I enjoy the whole travel thing. And the last two places that I just came back from, one was Dundee, Illinois. I think I've counted that I've been to Chicago now 10 times. 10 times since 2014. 10 times since 2014. We're using 2014 as the mark of when this whole thing started. So basically 2014 on, 10 times. So in 4 years, it's a long time. That's just, and that's just Chicago. That's just Illinois. And then there's Michigan. And New York and Arizona. There's a, forget about it. Anyway. Pow, that's good. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy flying. Just enjoy the destinations. Again, when you start to fly this much, the time flies, the time goes by really quickly. You start, you know, sleeping a lot. Or there's the always onboard entertainment. If you're into catching up on shows that you haven't seen, like I was doing with this thing called, I think it was Little Sheldon or Sheldon or something like that from Big Bang, Bing Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory. It's kind of cool because you can binge watch, and it's kind of cool. So that was fun. And what else do we got? We got getting there, and coming from California, we don't have what the rest of the country, well, I'm going to put the Midwest states on, have, which is greenery. You guys have amazing greenery. You guys have, like, something we don't see here during the summer, and I know you got snow to keep your grass wet. I know you've got water. You've got lakes. We don't have any of that. So we get brown. That's our season. We get, and summer is brown. And winter can be green for a while. So when you have your snow, we have our green. And Californians have even got to the point where they're putting down their fake grass. So they have to water it, and it's always green. But you know that doesn't smell. I love the smell of grass. It's amazing. That's just crazy. We don't have that. So as a frequent flyer to the other states, I'm always looking at what we don't have. And I know you guys probably take it for granted, these beautiful spruce trees that you have or these other types of amazing foliage, grass and such. We don't have it. You know what we have? Desert. But we do have In-N-Out Burger. I like In-N-Out Burger. Let me see if I can get this person to call in. All right, buddy, let's see what you're doing here. Hang on one second. Let me just call. I'm just going to do call now. Call now. Done. So, last two places that I've been to were World at War. It's the annual thing. I've been doing it for 4 years now. And that's at Paintball Explosion in Dundee, Illinois. Dundee, Illinois is about, I don't know, maybe half an hour plus from Chicago. And if you've never been to Paintball Explosion, Paintball Explosion has the Nuketown, the full-scale Nuketown, and it has the basically, it's on the property that used to be a Santa Claus village. So anybody from Chicago knows Santa Claus Village. And this place was built in the 60s. So everything is kind of looking like that from the 60s, all Santa Clauses and elves and candy canes and everything. It's kind of funky that you play in the summertime in Santa Claus Village, but it's kind of cool. And they revamped it, and they made it an amazing place. Has a bar inside. Largest laser tag facility in the world. Three stories. It's just crazy. And it's an A1 facility, too. It's crazy there. So, Kruzel, it's just cool. That was at World at War. It was a patch event for the brigades. And we had an amazing time there. And then the other place that I've been to, I just came back from this past weekend, was a place called Metamora, Michigan. And Metamora, Michigan is home of Lone Wolf Paintball. And if you haven't been to Lone Wolf Paintball and met Tony and Joe, you're missing out on a pretty good experience. These guys are, they're ballers, they're park owners. They have stores, but they're really good people. They're really hard workers, and they look after the players and the experience to make sure that the players and the experience have a great time. And this was their third year, I believe, doing it. I think Red, White, and Blue game. And last year I was brought in as a general, and you guys know my opinion about that. I don't think celebrities should be general. So I PM'd Sizzle. I said, dude, because he lives in Detroit. I said, dude, come out. I want you to be my XO. He goes, okay, cool. He comes out and he gets there. I go, dude, you're not my XO. You're the general. I'm going to go play. You're going to work. I don't want to do this. So bing, bang, boom. Sizzle and I became good friends. He became the general. We got second place. We beat William Madfrog. John Reeves came in first place, and Mr. Madfrog came in third, and he always comes in first. So it was kind of a cool thing. But it was an amazing event last year. This year, we did. They do the three general things again. This year it was Tony is one of them. And it was John Reeves from PB Fit. He was the second one again. And then Sean Jean. Now, Sean Jean is with the infamous Wrecking Crew. And he's a Valken sponsor team. And they come in from Canada. Now, if you don't know geography that well, you're thinking Canada. Wow, they Detroit and Canada are pretty much like across the river or the lake from each other. And I think it's about an hour plus drive to go from Canada to Metamora, Michigan. So it does seem impressive, but it is cool. I mean, it's international. It's another country. But it's kind of a cool thing to be that close, so they can just pop over. And they do, and they set up camp. And then what I do is I play on both teams, or all teams. Let's just say all teams this time, both teams when there's two. And we did that, and it was fantastic. We had a huge turnout. It was kind of cool. It's an interesting mix of people because they're bringing in people from all the surrounding states. Now, something unusual happened at this event, and it really, really made us all smile. This kid, I don't know, he was about 12 or 13 maybe, and then he had his friend with him, and then his sister. And the mother was from one of the friends, and she comes over, and they all come over, and the boy says to me, you know, we just came from Arkansas, and I've been dying to see you. I've been dying to meet you, sir. You know, they always do that sort of thing. I said, wow, that's kind of cool. And I said to the mom, I said, how long did it take you to get here? And she said, we drove 15 hours. I said, Jesus Christ. So at that moment, Tony and I knew that we're going to like spoil these kids. And that's what we did. We constantly just, you know, shine the light on them. We did some videos with them. We took them out to play, and there's this thing that I do, you guys know, where I have the kids shoot me. This year, there wasn't hardly any kids at that age. So what I did was I took these two kids out that came out from Arkansas, and we went out to the speedball field, and it's like overgrown with weeds and everything like that. So I took the kids out, and we did a hide and seek game, one on one. And I would like start screaming at them, "I'm coming for your soul," like that, and they got a big kick out of it. But so at the end of the game, Tony and Joe, they make these huge microfibers with the red, white, and blue game logo on it, and the lone wolf thing. And what they do is that's what they use for their flags to pull these things up. So we gave those flags to these kids. So these kids went home with a big smile on their face. And it's a no-brainer, you guys, when you get into that situation where you see kids that have done that or like, you know, they're coming out or whatever the situation is. It's a no-brainer to shine the VIP light on them. And they're always going to remember that. And, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. So so that was part of my red, white, and blue game experience. But I'm gonna touch base because we're gonna go backwards here. Let's go for the PBX and how that event went. And I've got an expert on. What's up, Jeff? How you doing, man? Jeff. Let's see if I can bring him in here. Jeff, are you listening?
I am listening.
Wait, hang on a second. Let me go this way. Jeff, can you hear me? And let's try this one. Hang on a second. Jeff, can you hear me? I heard you a second ago. Hang on a second. I heard you. Let me see if I got you. Jeff, there. And Jeff, how about that? Jeff, can you hear me? You're calling in from your computer. Yeah. Jeff, can you hear me? Jeff. Jeff, how you doing, man? Can you hear me? How about that, Jeff? I'll go right. I'm gonna level it right there, and I'm gonna level it right there. Jeff, how you doing, man? Can you hear me? No worries. We're gonna have to figure out why Jeff can't hear me. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna bring him back in. Let's see if that works. Jeff, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I cannot. I don't think you can hear me. If you can hear me, I can hear you.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I think we're good now.
Dude. What are you doing, man? You're scaring me. You almost gave me a heart attack. All right.
Well, I was
possible.
Under the impression that I have a very old headset, so I'm under the impression and this thing, it does take a little bit of work when I get started with my Skype here in the evening.
Okay.
So I think
we're good. And you know that Radio Shack closed, so you can't take it back, right?
Well, I just take it apart and put it back together and see if it works.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I know how you work. You're like one of those guys. What's up, brother? How you doing?
We are well. I'm well. Today's a good day. You know, as always. How about you? Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Good evening, everybody. I don't let things bother me. Have you been listening to the show up until this point?
No, I have not. No, I've been busy. Oh. Actually, I have work going on at the moment, so I'm kind of texting other people and doing other things at the same time. But I'm good right now.
So introduce yourself.
My name is Jeff Ferguson. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm my regular park is PBX in Chicago, Paintball Explosion, which, you know, as we've talked about before, is the place where we have the annual pistol tournament now. And obviously the Clowns versus Zombies in the World at War event there. It's a CQB park. I also author the Chicago Paintball Advisor, which is basically a Facebook page where I kind of do reviews on parks and kind of give people from out of town ideas on what parks to play when they come to the area, you know, areas that they can stay in, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of, I'm just a casual player.
No, I like it. I like it. And you have, how do they say that? You have reached the Rubicon. You have gone over the edge. You have left the regular player baggage behind, and you've become now a super producer, a game producer. Oops.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, but I think there should be there are other people in the world who run pistol contests, so it's not like I did something that's completely, you know, out of the realm of what it is. I kind of took something and put our own little spin on it, and it went really well. And that was the nice thing is that it came across so well.
I agree, but listen, you know, I've been doing stand-up for a long time, and when you think you've created a joke, maybe, but maybe not, because maybe the Greeks did it back in the day, right? Aren't there words?
Right.
I mean, so
absolutely.
There's been like, so everybody lays claim to something, but we all do something. And yeah, there have been, I've done pistol challenges. There all been this thing, but again, all the magic happened. All the gods were smiling on us, everything's place. And, it worked out well. So everybody here a kind of 1, 2, 3 about my weekend and how this thing built up, and then we'll let you jump in. So hold on one second. So
tell
basically
me.
What happened was I'm a big, and you guys know that already, but I'm a big proponent of if you're going to be invited somewhere. And I'm just going to put it to you this day that back in the day, celebrities were invited to places and they showed up and they did whatever they wanted to do and then they left. And I'm a proponent of if you're going to be invited someplace and somebody's going to be paying for you to be there and do all the other kind of stuff, you need to give back 110%. So my 110% is 3 months prior to the game we're promoting, video show, whatever. And then actually at the event, we're hanging out, hugging babies and shaking hands. And it's, you know, you're there the whole time. And then when you leave, it's been 2 weeks, and we're doing a show again about it. So that's what I feel would have to be done. So when I get brought in by all these different owners, they know that. They know what they're getting, and that's why they do it. They say, hey, can you help us promote? And I go, I'm in. So that's what I'm doing, and this was no different. I fly in on Friday, and TJ and Romy are our master hosts, and they'll. So in this version, this one that we did, it was basically just Wolf and I as Eric's celebrities. We had Graham from Armadillo is with us as well. So the three of us were basically there representing. And they took us out to dinner on Friday. We hung out, and it was fantastic. And the Saturday, we only did the pistol event. I think it was too hot or something to do anything else. So we decided that we were only going to do the pistol event towards the evening. And then Sunday was the big game. So since we had nothing planned for Saturday itself, I caught up. I at 11 o'clock after we got home, I pulled the shades, I drank some NyQuil, and I didn't wake up until 11 o'clock the next day. 12 hours, boom. I mean, everything that I had left behind, I caught. It was fantastic. Done deal. So that was fantastic. That was like an amazing part of my weekend then. I always remember that big trip. And then we got to the park. We all got hooked up and dressed. And we got things organized with this cool cat, Jeff. Now, Jeff had been PMing there was a trade chat between me, Jeff, and Payroll was in there too, about this event. Now, let me give you a little insight to this Jeff character. You just heard what he said. that I told, made a joke about taking it back to Radio Shack, and he said, I'll just take it apart. That's what this pistol event was. This pistol event was from the ground up, and there was all the dots and the T's and the I's and the O's, and everything was crossed, everything was dotted, everything was, I mean, this thing was amazing. He had PowerPoint presentations. He opened up the pistol and did schematics. If it all traveled this speed and this, this guy was amazing. This was too amazing. But he was putting his ego on the line because this is what he does. This is his thing. Was amazing. When we got together at the park and I saw the amount of people that signed up for this thing, which I'm guessing 30. I didn't count the raw numbers, but there was the people that signed up and the people that were watching. And it was an amazing turnout for this. And he chose the park well. I mean, the field of the park well. And the paint was running perfect. And there was some, you know, and he's going to tell you about it, there was some kind of like glitches, but just like, you know, timing factors that we had to work out. But everybody got involved. It was just amazing. And it was one of those things where you're like, what's that guy from the A-Team? He says, I love it when a plan comes together. That's what happened. When you kind of watch the past, you know, like 2 months, some person really putting their heart into something, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is in front of you, and it's working, and it's and people are enjoying themselves and playing, and dude, you knocked it out of the park. You,
well, thank you
very killed
much.
It with this thing. You killed it. I mean, you just like, this was, it was well organized. People were happy. And that's the biggest thing is that, you know, we did a little bit of a time thing you're going to work on. But other than that, people were like super excited at this thing. So tell me about it, man. Tell me how this thing went.
Well, I thank you for the kind words. I think did well, and the feedback we're getting is outstanding. The scene out here is very much a pistol scene, and this is the first really big invitational tournament that we've run, and it went really well. There were only 16 participants. There were only 16 spots. Now, but there were at least, I would say, 50 people watching. And quite honestly, the morning of, we were here, people were trying to jump in, but really until an hour before the actual tournament time, we had our 16 until we had a few no-shows. So we had some last-minute stuff to put together because we needed to fill the 16 spots. But the reality is that, I mean, the next time we do it, we're talking about 28 people, just expanding a few of the brackets. Unfortunately, in a format of 1v1v1v1 with four players playing in elimination, it doesn't just go from 16 to 32. It goes from 16 to 64 if your brackets are pure. And in that case, that's hard to do just because, you know what, you're going to have twice as many matches. It's going to take twice as long. We want to be able to accommodate people, but at the same rate, we have to make sure that, you know, we keep it as pure as possible. We don't want to make this suddenly, you know, if this group has this many players, this group has this many players. We want to keep it as pure as possible for the group. And when we talk about the actual game, what I thought was great about the game, outside of the feedback, is to a man, the players all loved it. And each one of them had some feedback as far as, okay, there's one thing we could tweak here to make this better. And to me, part of the process of running a tournament like this, that, you know, something we want to do annually, is that, you know what, you want to refine it. You want to say, okay, we did this, and we had the first group we had a scenario where, you know, two guys were left. They were playing, and we decided that we had to have a winner, and we wanted to go. And what I didn't want to do is put them in a scenario where they had a time limit, so we removed the time limit, and it took a little long. And that probably wasn't what we wanted to do, but we fixed that. We refined it. And you know what? It worked out well because, you know, they ended up finishing it within the 2 minutes anyhow afterwards. And you know what? Sometimes you have to, when you put on an idea like this, which we knew was going to be a learning experience, is that you have to refine it better and then say, okay, we tried that. It didn't work. We found something that works now. Okay, we'll go with this from here. And then now we'll get more feedback from players. I mean, the youngest player in this tournament, I believe, was 15 years old. And then the oldest was, you know, probably in his mid-40s. And I would say out of the first four brackets, which had 16 players, I want to say three of those brackets went to a fifth match, which basically means somebody won, you know, a different person won all the previous matches. So it was, the brackets were, you know, were laid out well. The end, the champion ended up having to play a fifth match. You know, the person who eventually, I mean, he was biting his nails playing. It was a great scenario. I want to say it went well. We had more than 50 people watching. That's what I thought was really cool. There's videos all over from different people, you know, from different vantage points, you know, watching the matches. I've had nothing but good feedback. The individuals who played, who participated, will be back. We've all but guaranteed there an opportunity to, if nothing else, for a play-in spot for each one, and we're hoping to add 12 more for our next next setup. So it's looking really good. I would say that
it was great. It was what was the map? What was that? What map did we play on?
Code Black. It's a map. Code essentially, Black. What attracted us to the map is, and if you want to, by the way, you can go on Negative Element Paintball. There is a picture of it that I basically a paint page where I had the actual layouts. I had some of the rules on there, et cetera. For if the people who are listening want to see it, go to Negative Element Paintball on a Facebook page and just scroll down. You'll see it. And essentially what was perfect about the map is you have, for a four-person tournament, which we were running, you have a perfectly symmetrical field where each player was starting at a door. You have an access to an inside roundabout, which could quickly give them access to any one of the four quadrants. Or they could retreat and go and access some cover on the outside. Now, we didn't allow them inside the actual buildings. We wanted to make sure that we didn't have any squatters. But they could either go inside the roundabout, or they can go outside where there would be cover also. And truly, within a two-second period, if they do nothing, somebody from either side could be, zoning in on them. So it was just the way it's all laid out is it forced people to be engaged right away. And that's what we really, and that's what we wanted. That's what we got. And the players were outstanding, by the way. We should give a lot of credit to the players also. We wanted to pick the best players. And, you know, I would say, you know, I don't see a scenario where we can have done much better, considering the fact that the people who showed up, I want to say that 8 local teams all had their number ones out, which is wonderful, because, you know, you always worry about, you know, overpopulating one team. I want to say we had 8 different teams. You know, I mean, one team had 3 players. Two teams had 2 players. And then I think you had, 6 other teams had 1 player from their groups in there, all pistol players. So, you know, that was great, because there was a lot of teams cheering for their guys. There were a lot of people. Everybody, most of the people knew each other. We had one person from SAS who showed up, even though that there was a big event going on in Wisconsin. He said he wanted to be part of the tournament. So it just went.
Wow. That is so cool. That is. And the sportsmanship was well, too. I mean, there was nobody, screaming or getting mad or that kind of thing. We all felt like we were part of something special, something big. And it was kind of cool to have that, you know, that group thing where everybody's like watching something new and something like we know we're part of something big, and it was fantastic. So if you guys can go check out, you can actually go to Negative Element, or you can actually go to Paintball Explosion and see the map as well too, and see what we were talking about. It was very, 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 very close quarter combat. You don't need fur bikes for this thing. It was just people were knocking each other out, and it was fantastic. So the ending of this thing was the winner gets to play against me. That was the actual idea. Was the winner gets to play against me as the prize, and so we did. I said, okay, let's do this, and he goes, okay. And the next thing I know, we've got Wolf involved and Matrix involved, and so. That's another thing that I thought
was
kind of cool.
You almost had about 12 people involved. It's behind the scenes, Gary, you were setting up with Brandon, who is the champion, Brandon Roscoe. And then immediately it came, Wolf's like, hey, I want a piece of this. And so, I mean, of course, whenever somebody says something like that, I'm usually the first one to say, go get some. You know, that's just at that point, it's like, okay, let's do it. And then so now we have a 4 spot available. And so Matrix is, you know, obviously, you know, and if anybody doesn't know Matrix, he is one of the co-founders of the Ghost Crew. The Ghost Crew in the Chicagoland area is a big presence, especially at Paintball Explosion. I mean, they are, you know, they run XOs and generals of major games all throughout the Midwest. I mean, quite honestly, if anybody deserves to be in that position, it's him. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And obviously, he was part of the tournament today, and he was the one who coached up, and he did a great job coaching up a young player who was playing in our under 21 bracket. And the under 21 player won a game, and he almost made it to the finals. And he did real well. He coached him up. The kid was smart, did a great job all around. So I was all for the Matrix part being in there. But at the same time, there were three or four other guys loading mags saying, "Hey, I'm in, hey, I'm in." I'm like, guys, we can't do this all day. One of the things that we promised when I pitched this tournament at Paintball Explosion is that I promised I'd be done within 2 hours. We were starting at 4:30 p.m. We had sunlight until 7:30, 8 o'clock. But what I didn't want to do is completely monopolize a map, you know, a very popular map at Paintball Explosion. I promised to TJ we would do it. And so we needed to make sure we got it done and then move forward and not had, you know, because right at that point you have people who were watching, who watched the actual tournament saying, "I want a part of it. I don't care who I'm out there with." And so you see Reaper walked out there. You see Brandon walked out there. And all of a sudden Wolf's playing and there's a guy standing there holding his pistol saying, "There's three people up there with GoPros. I'm in. I want to find out how good I could be doing this." And that's really kind of a nice way to end it, because there were lots of people there that said, "Okay, the next time we do this, I need to be part of it," which is exactly what you want when you do an event like this.
And it was well. We had the object of the game is each of us get a part of the around this building kind of thing. And it actually, I think on this one, we were able to go inside buildings. Is that right? Because the last game, it didn't really matter.
The only building that we want to allow anybody to have more than one corner of shield or one cover, you know, was the inside of the roundabout, which basically means, I mean, if you really paste it off, you know, out inside that building, each one of you is standing by the door. The next person was a maximum of 15 to 18 feet away. At any
right,
point.
Exactly.
And you'd have one of those people across from you, one of those people to the right of you, and one of those to the left. So entering the building obviously is very risky. At the same rate, if you go backwards, you're running into an area where you don't have any cover at all. So until you get to buildings in the outside. So I mean, the reality is that the player had a decision to make. You can enter the building and you can have access to all three players probably within seconds. I think two of the 24 games that we played ended up going the full 2 minutes. I mean, I would say half of the games probably ended within 35 seconds. You know, it was quick. Most of the games were quick because once one person got eliminated, that his area became a very, very safe haven for somebody. And then usually that person would monopolize them. If you shoot somebody in that area, you know that there should be nobody else there. So most guys are going into that area just for some kind of a cover. So it was very I really wish we could have somehow taped the entire thing, because I would have loved to watch it just to see how the players were reacting, players were adjusting to, you know, the conditions of each game. Obviously, the weather was perfect too, by the way, which in Chicago is not often happened. So that's always a nice thing.
All right. Listen, you're doing a lot of popping here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where that noise, whatever that is, it's killing my ears. Anyway, are you okay? So we're cool. You there? Oh no. Oh no. That's even worse. Not having anybody there. Dude, you need to get a new microphone when you call me back. And don't try to take it apart now. That's not going to work. Yep. I think he's died. He's gone. You've got to do Skype then. Dude. Well, anyway. So let me explain to you. You guys got the idea of how this went down. There was a combination of all these different teams that go there. And sometimes these teams are a bit of a rival. But in this case, it was all friends. And they're all having a good time. They're all hanging out. And one of the one of the interesting things was Wolf had a spot on the thing. And he's not known for being a pistol player. And he has a bit of a a PR problem, maybe sometimes, I guess you can say, in our sport. But he showed up and he did it and he played and he got there in the brackets and he's taking people out. And I think it went a long way for people to watch that and go, wow, this guy, he can play. He's pretty cool. He's a good player. So, Wolf, I'm giving you a thumbs up on that one. So the actual idea was that once the game was finished, I would take the winner, and we would do a one-on-one in this area. And let me see if he's coming back. I'm going to give him a chance. I'm just going to hang out there and see if he can fix his thing. Do it. Let's do this thing. And the thing is, hang on a second. I think he's, no. So, okay, cool. So it was Wolf Matrix, me and the winner. I think his name was Brandon, I'm sure. And we all had our four corners. Now, Wolf told me that his objective was to get me out first because Wolf and I were like next to each other, like on the other side of the wall. So his idea was to go for me first. And I said, okay. I mean, he didn't tell me that, but. And when they blew the whistle, if you imagine a wheel turning. And I was the opposite wheel. So I was the opposite going opposite direction. So basically, instead of everybody running to their left and going around in a circle and shooting everybody, I stood my ground, whoever's going to come around the corner. And I looked quickly and I saw Wolf. And what happened was the guy that was behind Wolf started chasing Wolf. So then there was like, basically, instead of us all going around in a circle, I stopped the circle. I looked and I see Wolf running for cover and the winner of the game chasing after Wolf. So I shot them both. Bam, bam. I have two pistols. Bam, bam. So now they're both out. And then I felt a thud in my back. Bam. And we called it. Oh, it's up. Okay, cool. Everybody, let's check. So I holstered my pistols, and the ref came over. And I'm wearing my Northern Alliance jersey. And I don't know if it's this way. And I don't know if jerseys are meant to be this way. But there's a lot of bouncing going on. So they checked me. I was clean. And we said, okay, let's restart it. So now it's me and Matrix in this thing. Now, this is Matrix home field. This is his, I don't rarely play on this map. This is his baby. And all of a sudden they flooded it full of referees. There's four inside, there's three, whatever. And bam, let's start this. So I'm having a good time with it and it's just for fun. So I'm going to have a good time with him and everybody can hear us. And I start to scream, come on, Matrix. Make it easy for me. Hold still. Come on, Matrix. I'm looking for you. And then the balls start flying. You know, the balls are flying. Then we both jump inside the building. We're hunting each other. And I do a quick snap shoot and get him right. I gog him right between the eyes and explodes. And so I walk out first and because they're all like waiting to see what happened. And I do that like princely thing where you do a curt, like bend your knee down and then throw your hand in front of your face and everybody started clapping and laughing. And then he came out and we all hugged each other and everything was cool. Again, in the spirit of that game, that was the fun part. That was the amazing thing to do where we were able to just, you know, have that adventure, have that kind of thing. So I wanted to keep the thing going. I wanted to keep the thing alive. I had all these pistol players there and I asked TJ, I go, dude, listen, as soon as we finish this game here, let me have Nuketown. And he was like, yeah, of course. So I screamed out. I said, hey, whoever wants to stick around, we got Nuketown. And we got Nuketown as long as we want. And they were all like, cool. So that's what we did. Jeff, I think you're listening, but Jeff, I'm going to I'm just going to leave you on and see if you can get your microphone fixed so you can just jump on anytime you want to. So we go over to Nuketown, and I'll tell you another little inside baseball thing here because I'm that way. I'm transparent. Almost, Jeff. Almost. I could almost hear you. Anyway, so what happened was last year, year plus, there was a there was still some people who didn't get what I was doing, didn't like me, whatever, and one of the groups was kind of like iffy about, you know, they did, whether they liked me or not, was MagFed Addicts. I'd always been good to them. I'd always been helpful. I'd always been like, you know how, you guys know how I am, and but whatever. So I just whatever. Then it turned out that the guy that created the whole thing, he left. He got out of paintball. He didn't want to do it anymore. But the other guy that was kind of like always there, Daniel. He's like, when he saw me, he was like, dude, guy, hug, yeah, like this, like pictures, and like, wow, this is like the different people than I knew last year. And so yeah, we became, you know, friends again. Everything's cool. And when we did the Nuketown pistol game, we were getting ready to walk out there, and Daniel's wife was just sitting there. And I go, dude, I said, are you going to play? And she says, I don't. Daniel was going to buy me a pistol. He hasn't bought it yet, so I don't have a pistol. So I gave her my pistol. I said, here, take my pistol. Really? I said, yeah, go take my pistol. And she was in the opposite team. So I'm now with one pistol. And that's kind of like, for me, I can play, but it's kind of like having one pedal on your bicycle. I mean, you can still get somewhere, but it's not as efficient as I like to play my style. So we played two games in Nuketown. And these guys that play Nuketown, this is the first time they've had a pistol-only game. And at Nuketown like this, and for a lot of these people, this was like something special. So that's why Daniel's wife was like, really, really? And I said, yeah, come on, join us. You know, when are you ever going to chance to do this again? So the first game that we played, I got out really quickly because these guys knew all the angles. And I said, well, I'm going to figure this one out. So the second game that we played, if you guys have seen Nuketown or played on Call of Duty, you know that there's basically two identical two-story buildings. And so when they blew the whistle, we're behind the yellow building, and everybody ran and did their thing. And I took my time, and I went up into the stairs, went up into the top of the building. And I like, why isn't anybody up here? This is amazing. And I'm taking out, like, bam, I take this player out. Bam, I take this player out. And then all of a sudden, I can see, like, four players, you know, circling and coming. So I tucked into a room. Now, again, here's the disadvantage. If I'm tucking into a room with two doors, you have two pistols, you got the advantage. No, I got one pistol. So one guy comes up the stairs, and I'm checking, and I bam, and I shoot him in the head, done deal. Then this other guy, he's going to rush me. So he comes through the door. I'll give you guys a hint about CQB stuff. What I do is the closer you get to a person, usually the ball's going to bounce or the less options that they have, you know. So that's what I did. I saw him coming and I jumped at him. So we're basically flying in the air and I gogged him, boom. And then the referee blew the whistle and they wanted to check me for paint. There was no paint. But now what do I see? I see four guys in the hallway waiting for me, and Daniel is one of them, MagFed Addicts. And I have one pistol, and I go, hang on a second, you guys, let me just reload. And so I'm reloading my mag, and they're going, you want to do this, four against one? I said, yeah, this is fantastic, let's do this. So I tuck back in my corner, and they blow the whistle, and we just have at it, bam, 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 bam. And I got a couple, they got me out, and that was it. But again, it was one of those things with the MagFed Addicts and everybody else that played against me that said, like, wow, okay, I guess this guy is pretty cool. So go out there and play. Squash the rumors that you're an ass or you don't play or whatever the thing is. A lot of times when you're not around these people, you know, I'm flying all over the place. I don't have a time. I don't hang out with them every weekend. So a lot of times when you're not around these people, they're like, you know, they either hate you or they're going to be like, you know, like, no, he's a great guy or whatever. It doesn't matter. So I'm going back in October for Clowns vs. Zombies. And we'll be able to hang out and do some great stuff again. Maybe do another pistol event. That'll be fantastic too. So that's that. That was an amazing event. And then Sunday we actually had the event, World at War. Again, I play on both sides, which is kind of fun because people take this serious when they're playing and they're like screaming at you. Yeah, I guess. Now all of a sudden you're side by side with them. You're next to them and stuff. So we were playing a lot of great things. There's a lot of great missions. There was a lot of great things happening. Payroll is the producer for that guy. And he just makes things happen. He's just on the ball with the games. So hats off to you, Payroll. We have a lot of teams that show up every year for these two events. And a lot of vendors hang out too. It's fantastic. It's always a patch event, which is great. And the games are played really well. And they're very cautious of the games. Like, you know, if one person's getting overrun or something like that, you know, they'll see what's going on, if something's fair or not fair. So that's really great. And it's cool. It's cool. Again, when you are a XO or general or all that kind of stuff, some people really get off on that. Some people really love that you know, to be in that position. And I don't. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't want to be given responsibilities. I just want to go hide, hunt, and shoot, and rush. That's what I like to do. And so it's kind of cool. And that's what I did. We had an amazing time there. And then there's always more prizes than there are players. TJ and Romeo, they get these amazing big ass prizes from GI Sports, defenders, grills, masks. And we're talking crazy, crazy stuff. They get this amazing stuff, and it's amazing. And they do it by drawing, which is great. They have a pre-reg drawing, which is great. But then they do the other, obviously by just drawing ticket, giving tickets out. And in while they're doing that, we're making sure that all the kids get gifts and all that kind of stuff. So Romeo and TJ, they always have like big boxes of prizes to give away. And I'm not a big fan of throwing stuff. I'm not a thrower. I'm not like the, hey, and then people are screaming, Reaper over here, Reaper over there, Reaper. Someone always either pulls the stuff apart, starts banging into each other. Someone doesn't get something. I'm not into that. So I usually start at one end of the crowd, and I have a huge box of stuff, and I just go through the crowd, and I make sure everybody's got something, and there's nowhere like babies crying, I didn't get anything. So that's my way of doing it. So while they're giving out the numbers, I'm giving out the prizes, and everybody's happy. It's fantastic. We have the Ghost Crew Rodents, they're called, and I'm on their jersey. My logo's on their jersey, and they're really cool cats. They're a group of kids that have been like fostered basically by the Ghost Crew, and they go out and kick ass. I've heard people say, again, we've talked about this, is this an adult's game where we let kids play, whatever? And my philosophy is no, this is a family game from 10 to 80. You're in, doesn't matter. And some people are like, I don't want to be shut up by a little girl. And you got a big problem because paint doesn't discriminate. It just goes. And we're all supposedly, air quotes, equal as far as our paint and guns and FPS and everything's concerned. So if you're being shot out by a 10-year-old or an 80-year-old, it doesn't matter. You're being shot. You got shot. Take it. You got shot. So sometimes people don't like the little kids as teams, as a pack of kids running out there and like whatever. But that's it, man. I'm in. Whoever's playing, and I'm there to support you guys. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. So I want to give a shout out to the kitchen there at it's like a little shack that they have, and they've named one of their delicacies after me, the Reaper. It's a chicken sandwich. Well, it's a chicken breast sandwich with cheese, extra barbecue sauce on a bun. This is the Reaper. Now, what they're making it, what they're doing to make it extra Reaper-y is they, hang on, Jeff cannot hear me. Okay, let me see. Jeff, I can't, Jeff, hang on a second, my friend. Let me just grab this one. Jeff, I can't hear you. I can hear you popping sometimes, but I can't hear anything you're saying. So I, dude, fix it. Get another one. Help me out here. Do something. Solder it. Yeah, that's it. Solder it. Anyway, but I'm going to leave you on the line, Jeff. You're on the line, so if you can get it fixed, jump in. Jump in. You're good to go. 682 area code. Who's this?
The Joker Harley.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. So hang on a second. Have you guys ever been? Have you guys been to Paintball Explosion?
No.
Yeah, that's amazing, amazing place. Where is your kind of like your how do I say this? Your destinations. I mean, you do Texas and you do Oklahoma. What else have
okay.
you done?
David, Mr. Reaper. I have to be politically correct right now. Because, see, here in Texas, okay, we don't play ball from, like, May till, like, October, somewhere in that area. And the reason why is, like, today, it was 109 degrees.
Oh, dude. Dude, listen, I know because I played there. I played there at Tanks in Texas, and it was 100 and I don't know. It got – I'm going to tell you how hot it got. They had like this a little electronic, you know, temperature gauge, and the temperature, I was watching it. It started like in the morning. It started about like 90-something, whatever degrees. And at about 12 o'clock, you know what the temperature gauge said? No
what?
Mas. No mas. That's all it said. It said no mas. No more. It can't go. It can't take it. So, yeah. So what do you guys have? You guys air conditioning? I mean, you guys have indoor playing or you just can't play?
No, we just don't play.
Dude.
In the summer, we don't play down here in Texas. It's just too darn hard.
Too darn hard.
I don't know where that came from, but it's just too darn hot.
The Texas,
so hang on a second. Where do you, you interrupted my Reaper sandwich. Anyway, so where do you actually go play?
Well,
do you guys go to Texas? Or, I mean to Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's just as bad. Right now, I think it's up there at Avid. And you've been to Avid where Tombstone's at.
Yeah.
I think they hit like 103, 104 today.
Oh, man. See, that's crazy talk. I was playing in...
talk about Michigan.
I was playing in Metamora last weekend, Michigan, and it was 90 plus, and people were just I told them, they even broke me, and it's hard to do that, but what I did was I went to one of the fields, and I laid down, and I just looked up at the sky, and I was like, but you know what I had around my neck, I don't know if you ever heard of this thing, it's called the frogger or the frog something. It's like a towel you put around your neck,
yeah,
and you get it wet.
One of those cooling towels you put around your neck.
Dude, I don't know why more people don't buy this thing. This thing is just amazing. You can feel your temperature go down, and all you have to do is just constantly keep on getting it wet when you're like, you know, and that thing's a blessing, man. So I had that thing going for me. But anyway, let me finish telling you about this Reaper sandwich. So it's a chicken sandwich, chicken breast sandwich with double cheese and double barbecue sauce and everything. And now what they've done is they've come up with this Reaper spices. It's like this, you know, like the hot spices or whatever. You pop that thing on there, and so I'm not into that. So you can have that thing on there. But yeah, Graham from Armadillo had it. He enjoyed it. It was fantastic. So you guys. I will see you there in October. Again, one of my favorite fields to go to.
You have one of your diapers.
I'll see you there in October for Clowns vs. Zombies. We're planning a really big surprise for you guys. I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be two big professional teams there. And they might not even be from our, you know, we call it the 80-20 rule. I think they're from the 20 part. So I'm going to say things without saying it. So we got some cool things happening for that. Jeff, did you find your voice? Nope, he had it there for a second. Oh, well. All right, you guys, listen. I got sponsored by this beef jerky company. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's Joker's Jerky. Yes, I'm sponsored by them as well. But this one is Jerky Den. It's a jerky company. It's a jerky company from Lone Wolf Paintball. And what they do is they buy from another company, but they put their label on it. And they had like a bazillion different kind of things, whatever. And they brought them out to the park, and they sold crazy. Like, I mean, they just brought them, and I don't know how much they're selling for, but people were like standing in line to get the jerky. And it was all packaged. It was ready to go. They gave me a bunch to take home. But I'm going to tell you, Thomas. Did I just say Thomas? I'm going to tell you, Mr. Joker. You can taste the difference between homemade like yours and a company-made kind of thing. And they're both fantastic. Well, and I love them. I love them both because I love jerky. And I love jerky like I love root beer. Like, I'm a root beerologist where I can tell you A&W versus Pabst versus, I mean, whatever it is, Pops, I'm in. I can tell you root beer. The same thing with beef jerky. Beef jerky has to be a certain way for me. It's got to be able to be chewy, but then, you know, I can swallow it. And there's a whole, you know, this whole thing going on. Hang on a second. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. I'll talk to you later. We'll try next year, next week, Jeff. You know, and you can hide it. It's like if you have shitty ribs and you put barbecue sauce in there and you're like basically hiding the rib from with the barbecue sauce. It's the same thing with beef jerky. You know, if you have shitty beef jerky, but you're putting this amazing, you know, coating on it. So both of these jerkies that I had, and I've been able to compare yours and this and the other ones, amazingly fantastic. They're fantastic, and you guys are both up there on number 10. So here's the deal. You got to step up your game, dude. You got to, like, package this stuff enough and take it to parks, because what I saw on Sunday was people lining up just to get beef jerky. I mean, and again, I don't, again, about what whoever decide, you have to decide quality or not quality, but it was available. It was a great item, and people loved it, and the variety was outstanding. I know what you're doing. You're taking pre-orders and stuff, so you know you don't have much to buy and stuff. But if you can do that, you know how they do that thing where they put beef jerky in that like long tube where you can unscrew the top and you can grab one or something and whatever. You've got. That's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about like your jerky. You got to come up with a something where when you go to these games, you've already got like, you know, packages of this kind of stuff. I know it can be expensive, but if you roll the dice and think maybe how much you sell and how much you can make back, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the market is on beef jerky, but I don't know, dude. I think you're sitting on a gold mine.
Well, thank you.
So what are you going to do about it?
We lately, since this whole thing has actually started, all right, and you kind of labeled us, and we just kind of rolled with that.
All right.
I got to give you that much effort. But it's like we have what we call Viper Steel Fortress, which is out here at Seven Points at What's Up Paintball Park. And, you know, and they have an actual Stargate, and they have the largest purposely built, paintball fort made out of, like, caners and all that are actually built there purposely just for this game. and it's the largest built fort, and you have to impregnate the outer ring before you get to the inner ring and stuff like that. And I kind of started up in Oklahoma, and you got some, and you're like, hey, you ought to call this Joker's Turkey. And I'm like, hey, that's a good name.
Nice.
And ever since then, you know, it's been a big hit. Right now for our Steel Fortress game, we just made a post at the beginning of last week, and we have over, I think, $350 or $400 worth of pre-orders.
That's oh, my God.
Top of, like, the extra stuff that we're going to be bringing out on top of that. Because normally we bring out anywhere between 150 and 300 bags, depending on the game. That's a lot of beef jerky, and that's a lot of time that's spent. But,
yeah,
you know, there's one guy that's already ordered 15 bags right now.
Jesus Christ, Thomas. Congratulations.
So, yeah, it's booming big, and it's people like you that help get the word out about, you know, yeah, you can pre-order for a game that I'm going to, and I'll bring it to you. But if you really like it, you can contact myself, Tom Lindquist, on Facebook, or Joker's Jerky, capital J, capital S, and all the rest are all capitalized for jerky. Or you can get hold of Nia Rochelle Lewis. You can get hold of any one of those three links on Facebook, and we actually do mail order now. And as a matter of fact, we just sent your friend Worm some up there in Detroit, and he wrote a very rave review about it all. And
nice.
So, yeah, after that, it's like the word is slowly spreading across the United States right now, and hopefully maybe with your travels and stuff like that, maybe we can kind of get this like a worldwide thing.
Dude, you know I'm in. I let Graham from Armadillo sample it, and he liked it as well. He likes his bull tongue though. That's like a whole different beef jerky kind of world kind of thing. But
yep.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you something, and you tell me if you want to do this. I'm leaving for Canada the 9th. I'm flying up there on the 9th of August, right? So we've got about 3 weeks or something. You want to ship me out some stuff? I'll cut it up with a scissor, and I'll distribute it while I'm up there. That's you know, we can get you maybe like some Canada people.
Yeah, the only thing I have, which is a hang up because of customs, you can't send food
over countries.
Like Wolf knows people that live here in the US. So I can ship it to them, and then like Wolf can come and pick it up.
Right, I got it. All right.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
It's the worldwide thing. It's like if people want to pre-order and say, hey, Joker, I want some A1, I want some teriyaki, I want some of your habanero chipotle, and I want like, you know, a black pepper or something like that, or who knows. And they go, but I'm over here in Europe, and you know, we have a big game coming up and like on this date and all that. Is there any way you can bring it to me? And I'd be like, hey man, yeah, actually I can. I can if I have different people that I know that are going to the game, hence yourself, send it to you ahead
mm-hmm.
of time. And then you can mail
yeah.
it to them. It's just a mail. It's not like an actual order or anything. You're mailing yourself. Like you mail,
oh,
like
I
you
got
mail
it.
Your paper to yourself. Get what
I
I'm saying,
understand.
And
I
then
see,
that
yeah,
way
yeah.
you can get it overseas. It's just a way of getting around customs.
Okay, I got it. All right, cool. Well, I'll leave it up to you. I gotta travel on that night. What?
Reaper, he literally on our way to California for his national Kia Nationals competition. He held up us at TSA for 10 minutes
because of his jerky.
Oh no. What they were like
they were wondering what was in the bag because they thought it was explosives. I had a half pound of teriyaki. I had another half pound of A1, and then I made myself a half pound of my dry rub. and I had three different bags in my bag, and it held me up at TSA checkout.
I bet. They probably thought you guys were like the Beverly Hillbillies or something traveling. My God, you guys.
Oh, I had the bat down and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah.
All right. Okay, listen. Where do we find you guys?
You can find Harley's.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Harley. We haven't talked to you yet. Let's talk to Thomas, and then we'll talk. then we'll promote what you're doing too.
Okay.
They want you.
Joker's Jerky. All right, you can find Joker's Jerky on Facebook, capital J, Joker's, capital S. All right, all the rest are lowercase. The last Jerky is all capitalized on Facebook. Or my name, Tom Lindquist, on Facebook. When you find my profile pic, I have a picture of me as the Joker, because that's who I am. Or you can contact me or Rochelle Lewis, who actually is part of Harley's Hard Candies and Special Treats. So
I like that. Okay, so
she has a whole bunch of stuff that you need to talk to her
about. We haven't talked to her. I hang on a second. She's next. Have patience. Just don't hit me. All right, cool.
I'm done.
I've sent you some special messages.
Yes, you have. You just got sponsored by, your Disney is connected with you now. What's going on with that?
Yes. Like, oh my goodness. I literally did not go to bed last night till almost 3 o'clock in the morning, because right now is Cincy's family reunion, and they released huge amount of product that we are now partnered with Disney, or not really partnered with Disney, but we signed a compliance or whatever to work with Disney. So now we have brand new Disney Cincy Buddies. We have Disney Sense, like we have the Little Mermaid Under the Sea, we have Mulan, True to Your Heart, we have a Cinderella, we have Belle, the Sense for the Winnie the Pooh collection is the 100 Acre Woods, and so now we have like Cincy Sidekicks are perfect for babies and toddlers. So for those of you who are having kids or have those toddlers, those are perfect. And we have Cincy Buddies now. There are going to be Mickey, Minnie, Winnie the Pooh, and Tigger that are for of all ages. I'm even tempted to steal one of my son's Cincy Buddies as well. We also have a Finding Nemo and a Dory. Little buddy clips that you can put on your gear bags or your diaper bags or your purses, whatever bag you carry. And it has a built-in scent in them, which is really cool. So I am, like, super excited. We have a bunch of new product coming out. We have now blanket buddies that are, like, for babies. Like, you see those little stuffed animal heads attached to, like, a blanket. We actually have two of those now, and we have a whole bunch of new warmers, new scents. Like, literally it was worth not going to bed till 3 o'clock this morning.
Wow, congratulations. Okay, where do we find all this?
You can find that it should be Cincy with Nia Lewis on Facebook.
Okay.
And I have a group and a page as well for those. Or you can just message me at Nia Rochelle Lewis, and I can hook you guys up. Because I am actually on a final countdown, like literally I can like hear the song playing in my head right now.
Nice.
Because I have till the end of the month to reach my goal for selling some Cincy. So hopefully I can get some orders in and reach my goal. And I really want to get Tom the Tigger Buddy, because that's his favorite pal. Like, he literally knows the Tigger song like it's back of his hand.
Nice. I like it. Okay, well, let's see if we can help them out because they're part of the paintball community.
Wait.
And
Dave, do you know the
yeah.
ticker song?
No. Why would
you
I
don't know
the
ticker song?
I think I did when I was a kid, but that's okay. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but you know, I'm 46 and I know the ticker song.
Yeah, but some of us have more things to do in their lives than to listen to that stuff. I'm just joking. No, I don't know the ticker
song. Well, you know, I got to kind of sing to myself while I'm working on cars because I get kind of bored.
Okay, so good. I like Foo Fighters and Metallica, but that's okay. If you want the ticker song in your head, that's fine by me. Okay, you guys, listen, I got a jam, but listen, it was always a pleasure talking with you guys. So where do we find the jerky again?
Joker's Jerky, capital J, capital S, capital Jerky on Facebook, or you can contact me at Mia Rochelle Lewis or Tom Lindquist.
I got it.
You can find Harley Special Treats as well.
Okay. Okay, tell us about that.
Oh, Harley has made some homemade from scratch donuts over the weekend that were like literally gone by like Sunday morning.
I ate four of them.
Wow.
I actually have a huge request for caramel filled homemade donuts with homemade caramel.
I like it.
And I have my adult gummies that are blooming like crazy.
Nice.
I make a bunch of stuff, like literally from like no bake to bake to candies. I have a request for some chocolate bark. I have a request for some peanut brittle as well.
Okay.
So
all right.
I make everything from like taffies to peanut brittles, caramels, like your actual like candies. I do stuff with Jolly Ranchers, as Reaper knows, with his Reaper flower he got last year.
I do, yeah.
And I do make homemade from scratch cookies, brownies. I've actually made lemon brownies. They're not chocolate brownies that are like lemon flavored. They're actually like almost like lemon bars, but they're like a brownie texture.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Where do we find the pages?
You find it at Harley's Special Candies on Facebook, or you contact me.
Okay. I like it. It shall be taken care of. Okay, cool. All right, you guys. Listen, thank you very much for calling in, you guys. It's always a pleasure. You always make me hungry after my show. So thank you very much for that. We'll hopefully talk to you guys next week. Kiss the baby for me. Okay.
I will.
Bye, you guys.
He actually was wanting to talk to you.
Well, he can say hello. Hello.
I will. He's outside.
Okay.
Tom.
All right,
but
cool.
We'll let you
All right,
know.
My friend. All right, my friend. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye. Bye. So let me just see what I got here. There we go. So the things I like to do, you guys, is I like to give people in our community a helping hand, a leg up, to help them promote. And this is one of the cool families that are in our sport. And, I'm all in. I'm all in to help. Okay, so last thing I'm going to talk to you about is the what do we got coming up here? There we go. Let me grab that one. We've got the one I was talking to him about getting me the jerky before I go to it. It's the Paintball Mirabel. And what they do is called the Tippmann Challenge. It's called 2018 on this one. And this year, last year was my first year. It was me and Patrick Aztec. And this year it's going to be Patrick, me, and Alabaster Slim. Plus, from the International Paintball Bridge. I'm bringing in two cool cats, Lewis and Jonas. They're coming in from Germany, and they're going to be my first guests on the International Paintball Bridge. They're going to be coming over. They're staying in at my hotel. Then it's not going to cost them anything. I'm getting them VIP'd into the whole event. That's not going to cost them anything. The idea is for them to come there and for them to not cost them anything except for this to travel, the actual plane ticket to get there. And so we're going to be picking them up on Wednesday. I'll be coming in on Thursday. We're going to be hanging out and having an amazing time there. And that's it. And they're going to experience Mirabelle and the Quebecois, the French people that are such amazing hosts there. And they'll go back to Germany and post up on their social media. And then when they'll talk to people that did the Euro Big Game. And so they'll hang out with them as well, and they'll talk to Bell. So basically what we're doing is we're trying to get the two continents close together again. And that's what these ambassadors are going to be doing, is that they're going back and forth, spreading the good word about how great these events were going. So I'm looking forward to having Jonas and Lewis come over from Germany for the first time to play. They're going to have an amazing time. So that's what's coming up. That's going to be August the 9th. I've got a couple weeks off until that. I got to organize my life, get things straightened out. And then what else do we got? After that, I'll be doing a show, a pregame show for this one, for the Mirabelle one. But then also got another amazing event coming up in Pennsylvania. It's going to be called Amish 2018. I'm just joking. It's not called Amish 2018. The Amish don't play paintball, as far as I know. Or maybe if they did, they would probably only use like mechanical guns. They wouldn't use electric because they don't have buttons. But anyway, so it's going to be Reaper's Siege of Pittsburgh. And we got a lot of great people going to that thing. It's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to be doing a pregame show. We'll get everybody on the show and talk about it. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. And then in what else do I got? September, I'm going to be going back up to Canada, to Alberta this time. Never been there. Now, Alberta is kind of like the country part of Canada. We're doing a thing called Young Guns up there. It's going to be another Tippmann Challenge. And we'll be doing a pregame show for that as well. Those are kind of the three games that are coming up shortly. So that's it. Anyway, you guys, it's cool to be back for a while. And I'm going to pull the plug on this one. So you guys, I'm going to tell you something. They're one of those inside baseball things. And use it for your own advantage if you'd like to. But after 2000, I've been playing since 2000 and 2008. 2014, this whole crazy thing started with me. And then when it started happening, they always say, if you don't have haters, you're not famous. So, yeah, I started getting them, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why? I mean, what did I do wrong? And apparently I didn't do anything wrong, just that some people were just not nice. So you take it personally, and how can you not? After 2018, I made a pact to myself, and I said, I don't care. Whatever. Done deal. I've proven everything that I've done in this sport. I've done, like, too many things and been too good of a person. So if people want to attack me because they can see a bald spot on my head or I'm wearing a kilt, or that's fine. It's on you now. So after 2018, I just said, forget about it. I'm enjoying it. And that's kind of what's happening now. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just having a great time. Not paying attention to haters on social media. And just doing what I do best. Helping to grow the sport. Helping other people. And helping make this our community a better place. So that's it. I'll hang out for a couple weeks here. And then I'm off to travel again. Want to get a hold of me? You know how to do that. Just PM me. And let's see if I can help you out if you need it. All right. Okay, you guys, be safe. We'll talk to Jeff Ferguson next week when he solders his microphone back together. And thank you guys for all your help and support. All right. Be safe. I'm going to play my music, and I'll shoot you soon. Bye-bye.